Welcome to Agency Highway. This is a podcast for digital agencies and freelancers who want to grow their business, earn more, and work less. Each episode, you'll hear from agency owners that are killing it, meet epic people that can help you along your journey, or just listen to me ramble on about something I think is cool. Head to agencyhighway.com for transcripts, action notes, and to join the community. I'm your host, James Rose. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of Agency Highway. This is episode 2, so it's pretty early days. And today I am on the line with Corey Dodd, and we're going to be speaking about pricing, about, you know, putting prices on your website, how much you should charge, everything when it comes to pricing services for web design and digital agency related things. So it comes up so often in the group, and Corey had some pretty awesome opinions that he dropped in, and you know, people reacted very, very well because it was really epic advice. So I immediately asked him to come on the podcast. Corey's a designer with almost 20 years experience working in large companies such as Nova Radio, which is impressive. That's really cool.
Yep.
Massive company here in Australia, if you don't know it. Some national advertising agencies, boutique design studios. Background in working as a creative in digital and tech companies has given him a broad skill set that covers design, strategy, and coding. He's passionate about helping others in the design community, which I've seen in the group, clearly, especially when it comes to topics around money, pricing, and processes. Who would have thought? He currently runs Elk Creative, a small design studio in Geelong, Victoria, and focuses on delivering custom branding and design solutions to SMEs across Australia. There you go. Sweet intro.
That sums it up. That is a good intro. Thank you very much, James.
And thank you for joining me, obviously.
No, thank you. Yeah, thank you.
And thank you for getting involved in the group. If you're not in there yet, that can be found at agencyhighway.com/group, and that will take you directly to the Facebook group that I'm talking about. There's over 3,500 of us in there at the moment, talking about all kinds of things from tech help with WordPress through to clearly pricing.
Yeah, it's a very active group too. It's really, yeah, it's doing good stuff in there.
Awesome. Well, thank you. So yeah, pricing is a massive struggle. This comes up all the freaking time.
Yeah, and it does.
And yeah, it can be anything from where do I start? We've got a bunch of questions from the group, which we'll get into later. You know, everything from how do I set prices from the beginning through to how do I adjust over time? You know, how do you justify prices? All kinds of things. So this is going to be a sweet episode with lots of value in it.
I hope so.
Yeah. All right. So, and actually, you know, one of the things you said in one of the comments was that people should start talking about money and sort of get comfortable with it. And I love this so much because it's not the first time I've heard this. Adam Hempe from Better Proposals is really big on this as well, like talking about money as soon as possible. So one, why do you think it's so important to be comfortable talking about it, and how do we become more comfortable a bit with it, like actually talking to clients about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a lot of reasons why we need to be comfortable around it. It's part of life. It's part of business. And it's just that sort of thing that stumps so many people, stumps so many designers and so many developers. And so, you know, sort of prolonging that and putting that off never helps anyone. And really sort of talking about money means that you can have a little bit more involvement and actually try and control that conversation. I see so many people, you know, talking about problems that they have with you know, clients. And a lot of the time those come down, I'd say about 80% of that would come down to money. And a lot of the rest of that is processes. And a lot of those processes could be fixed if there was more money. And I'm not talking about money just so that you can get more of it, but just being more confident about it, knowing how to talk about it and when to bring it up. And I 100% think that you should do that as soon as you can, without sounding crass, without sort of not listening to the person and not showing any interest in what you're trying to deliver for them or what they need. But really, if you know your product and you know your service and you know what you do, you shouldn't be having a conversation with someone and then saying, hey, look, I'll get back to you with a proposal. You should be able to give them some sort of ballparks and get them on the same wavelength as you up front. And if they're not cool with that, then you've not wasted time on a proposal. And also, you know where you stand. So I think, yeah, always try and get to money and ideas around pricing within that first conversation. So like half an hour.
Yeah, I think you nailed it there too, in that, like, basically it shouldn't be a surprise. When the time comes to a proposal, they should have some kind of an idea of what it's going to cost, because then, like you said, it's not like, I can't remember what I was going to say there, but you're not wasting time. That's where I was going. Like, that's massive. Like, if you go and create some, you spend all this time to make a proposal and send it to them, and they go, oh, like, that's not even close to the figure I was thinking. You know, you've wasted so much time.
Yeah, and you could do that in a conversation and then actually feed off of that person right there and then. Whereas if you go away and submit a proposal, it's kind of like done and dusted. And either they get sticker shock and it's rarely that they'll get a price they're not expecting and then think, oh, hang on, there'll be some real great value in there, unless you've been talking about that sort of value up front. So, I mean, there's a guy, Blair Enns, and he's written a few great books, Win Without Pitching and Price and Creativity.
Oh, yeah.
And he sort of talks about the idea about a proposal, and that you should really be doing these one-page proposals, and the idea of doing these long, blown-out proposals that designers and developers do, thinking that that's how they're going to wow the client, is actually rubbish. Mm-hmm. That really the whole conversation, the whole time you spend with someone, is the proposal. So that first meeting, that second meeting when you're defining stuff, that becomes a proposal. And really, the piece of paper that you give them is just like a dot point documentation of what you've actually agreed to. And you should be able to get on that same page without doing, 10 pages, 12 page proposals. And also, like not wasting that time on money. If you say to someone like, that sounds like a $20,000 project, and they said, they were hoping for $500, you're wasting both of your time. Like,
Yeah.
And we've all seen those people that sort of want Facebook as a website. They think that it's been done before, so it can't be that hard. And so they think, well, it exists. Can't I just have, can't you make me an eBay? And I've got $1,000. Like,
Yeah, we had that. Because we're doing a lot of sort of custom development now, not so much like website stuff. And I've had the, can you make us an Uber? And my budget's $5,000. And I'm like,
yeah, the no. Uber of.
No, I really can't. That's not even close. So unrealistic expectations are a very good thing to filter out early days. Mm. And I think this can be done right in the beginning. This is one of the threads that came up in the group was talking about putting prices on your website. And this is one of the things, heated discussion.
It comes up a lot too. It comes up a lot. And obviously, I get involved in that conversation. I have a strong opinion on that. But, it does come up a lot. And I think, I start to think about why you do this and why you shouldn't do this. And I think that it's not the sort of thing that's 100% a line in the sand. Yes, you have to do this. And there's going to be a lot of people that have agencies and, freelancers that don't list their pricing and have open pricing and have a really successful business. But I see a lot of people that are struggling with pricing and struggling with talking about money. And then they refuse to actually put their pricing out there. And I think that's part of the problem. Like, well, I don't understand why they would be so susceptible to trying something out. So it really blows my mind that they sort of don't really get involved or try it out. I think that really helps with being confident around pricing too. Like, that idea that we just talked about with money and trying to get that on the table, that's really just about being confident around the concepts that you're dealing with business people. You're dealing with stuff like resources, which means time. That means, internal resources. That means money. If you can't talk about those things, they're the toughest things. And if you can talk about them, it's really going to open the doors to having the other tough conversations. So,
yeah, I think the confidence in talking about pricing does take time to build, especially for new people. If you don't have the confidence around what you do yet, and a lot of people don't, they might beat themselves up about their abilities to build websites and literally don't think they are worth that much. And that's not something a lot of people can just switch off, I think it does take time to get used to this kind of thing. And I was definitely there, I didn't like talking about pricing in the early days. But a way I overcame it, and this is what I want to get into, is because there's quite a lot of stuff you can do on your website, you know, like when you might just start with a range, you know, like this is what I want to get your thoughts on. But what I did is we had an initial form. So right after someone contacted us, we sent them to like a very basic brief form. And the last question on there was, what's your budget for this? Yes. And
the old budget sniffer.
Yeah, it works so well, especially after they've typed in all this stuff into this form. They're starting to realize how much goes into a successful website process, because you've asked about their audience and like their business goals and how much a sale's worth to them. And, you know, they're actually starting to think about value, and then you ask what a budget is. But we had the bottom, and I'm pretty sure I stole this from Troy Dean from WP Elevation, maybe. Anyway.
Good place to steal stuff from.
Yeah, totally. He's been on the podcast as well. I say has been, but he's going to be on a future episode, even though I've already recorded it.
gotcha.
So the final form, this final field was budget, and the minimum option was basically what we wouldn't work with, right? So let's say you don't touch websites under $2,000. If you have an option there that's a budget of like less than $2,000, or if it's, you know, you only do big sites, you have less than $10,000 or something. And if they pick that, it's pretty much like, oh, sorry, we're not a good fit, but I know someone who might be. And that was a really good sort of intro for me into putting pricing on my site, because I didn't want to just go put packages. Do you have fixed packages on your site? Like, because websites differ in complexity, right? So how do you handle packages versus just putting a range on there? What do you do?
Well, personally, I put ranges in there. And I guess there's two ways to think about this sort of stuff. And one is to have prices that are trying to be value-based pricing. And the other one is to have something that's productized. And that's simply where you say, you bundle a service, and it might be SEO, and you might say that's 20 hours, and then you've got a 40-hour package, and then you've got a 60-hour package, or whatever it is. Then you might, you know, for websites, you might be having deliverables that are, you know, custom design, or you might have, you know, amount of pages. That's one way of doing it. That's not what I do. I did try that, and I didn't actually like that, because I think there's a little bit of rubbish in that, you know, we all know that the amount of the deliverables get really hard, because, you know, like there's something between, you know, 12 pages and 20 pages. It's not double the work to do those pages. The work's in actually setting all that stuff up. It's in those conversations initially. It's in trying to work out what you do, you know, creating the themes, that sort of stuff. That's where all the work is. So that's why I moved away from that model. It just didn't work for me. And so I've moved to having a value-based pricing system. And the way that I do that is have price ranges, and then within that, those ranges, I'm actually having the content is almost like a little conversation about who this is designed for, what this package is, or this level. So rather than a package, it's almost like a tier. And so what that tier, who that tier is designed for. So my breakdowns really are for websites, and I do this with branding as well, but with websites, I've got like an essential one, which is essential, you know, which is really like you're trying to get a digital presence, you know, you're trying to get online. Then there's like a custom one where you're sort of taking it to the next level, and then there's a strategic one. And the price is sort of my range is from $4,000 to about $12,000. I think that's currently what it is, and that does change. Certainly intend to keep growing that and putting that up as time goes by. That's always the goal.
Yep.
But yeah, that's how I do that. So rather than saying, look, this is X amount of pages with these sorts of deliverables, it really is, this is the sort of stuff that I do for a person that is, you know, a small business, an entrepreneur, and these are the things we start thinking about, and these are the things that we're doing. This is for a, you know, a medium-sized business that might have its second website or its third website. And really, that's how I break them down. The good thing with that is it gives people an idea of price, of where they sit or where I sit. But then it still starts that conversation. So that's one of the huge things that people have. They have these sort of, I guess, almost false issues with putting your prices on your website. And that's one of them. They sort of think that once you put prices on your website, that's the end of the conversation. But really, for me, I found that's the start of the conversation. And so it's been really, really quite powerful that people still ring up and they want to know, hey, what does that cost? It doesn't remove all of that from there. but it means they've got a guide. They've seen, you know, that there's $4,000 there and they're really a $500 client, or vice versa. They're a, you know, $300,000 custom, you know, web app sort of build, and they're looking at my prices and there's, you know, $12,000 is where I'm starting my higher tier, then they probably think that I'm not the right person. They probably need, you know, a team where there's 20 people. So it really just helps people understand who they are and what that's designed, you know, who I'm trying to work with.
Absolutely. And I think a really important thing you said in there was, like, in your higher tier, you're talking about including strategy. This is massive, right? And web design is kind of getting commoditized in a way, you know, like you can buy a five page website. If you go, you know, if I approach someone and I want a 5-page website and I'm going to be writing the content, I just want you to make it look pretty and set it up. Mm-hmm. I can go to 5 different people and get quotes, and you know, it might make sense to just go with the cheapest one at that point, you know. And that's and that's why so many people are switching to this kind of model, where it's more about you and what you can value add to the business more than just the website, you know. Like if you can add a level of strategy in there, you know, or you're doing SEO or something that can and bring them more business. At that point, it's an investment. It's not a pure cost, which a website is viewed by many clients. You know, it's just, oh, I have to go and spend a few thousand dollars on a website. It's going to, you know, that's a negative sort of feeling with that. Whereas if you're, you know, you're spending $3,000 on ads or something, you expect to get some money back from that. It's more of an investment. That's how I see strategy.
No, I 100% agree. And look, the thing with that too is, you know, when with those tiers that I have, that bottom one is, there's very, very limited amount of strategy, you know, involved. It really is just like, what are we having in there? You know, everything that I do is custom designed. I'm not sort of, you know, that's why I probably have higher prices than some people, but it is always custom designed and custom built. But also when I get to that sort of second tier, there's more conversation around strategy. And it's really trying to help people drill down. Whereas in that top level, there's more of an actual workshop done with people where you're, you know, investing a real amount of time. And you're actually challenging them, and that's where I think the value is. So it, rather than just saying, okay, I've heard you, you said that your target market is where X, Y, Z, this is your primary target market and this is secondary target market. But at that strategic level, you're actually challenging those people and say, but is it really, you know, is that really where your money is? Is that actually your competitor, or is you know, why do you think that's your competitor? And it's really trying to actually work out a lot of that stuff. And then also coming up with the goals, like what is the website here to do? What are we actually trying to achieve? And have those conversations. So, yeah, you certainly, you know, that's where I think a lot of web design and web agencies and digital agencies are heading these days, because that's really where the value is. And like you said, that's because that product, you know, I guess that commoditization of websites, they're just so easy to make. You know, you go back to a long time ago, and it was $30,000 just to get a CMS, and now. You know, it's open source and you can, you know, choose from a range, and yeah, it's not the same sort of, but then the amount of work involved in, you know, in those early days was a lot more to get a CMS set up. It was custom and, you know, so yeah, strategy is one of those areas where you can make and prove your value, you know, you can make a difference for a business and actually, you know, prove your worth.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we've covered a little bit, Hillary Strauterman, I assume I pronounced that correctly, in the group asked a question about sort of how you typically price your services. And I think we've covered a lot of this, right? Like she's mentioned, like, if there's more involved than your typical base price. So like by feature, page, number of extra hours. And this is a hard one, right? Because I know you've said we can't charge by pages, because we all really know there's not that much work involved in them.
I mean, you can. There's nothing to stop you from doing that.
True. And a lot of people don't realize that putting 5 extra pages in doesn't really cost anything, provided they're not all custom layouts. So this is, I understand it.
And that's the other thing too. This is part of the reason why that page just doesn't work anymore. You go back 10 years ago with the website, and you know, a page basically meant like half an A4 of content, and it was like a header image and some text. And nowadays a page is a landing page. It's probably got an intro, it's got a video, it's got a call to action, it's got, you know, customer reviews, it's got, you know, all of this stuff in there. And a single page could be, a novel, So what is a page?
Yeah.
That's why that model didn't work for me. I'm not saying that other people can't make it work, but I certainly think there's better ways of sort of pricing. And the other thing with what Hillary was sort of saying that I think is really valuable is that with pricing, you don't have these fixed prices. Actually, it is a conversation, and really you're trying to work out the scope of the project and the value you can add, and that's how you come up with the pricing. And that's what I think the way that I've priced allows me to do. It's to start that conversation. And in the conversation with the client, you're actually trying, if they say, we want an e-commerce website, okay, great. How many products have you got? Is it under 50? Yeah, okay. I've got a good idea of what that looks like. Is there anything else it needs? Oh, well, it needs a custom thing. Let's say it's like a custom discount system or something. And you're like, okay, I don't have a solution to that. And so really what you'd be saying is, I've done a lot of e-commerce websites, and this is what I'm charging people. Like, say, I'll make them massive. It's 10 grand. That's what we'd be looking at for that. With this sort of custom section that you're talking about, worst case scenario, maybe it's 5 grand. Best case scenario, maybe it's 2. But what we'll do is we'll scope that out. And if you say that stuff up front and in that early conversation, you say, how does that sound? I'm thinking worst case scenario, you might be up for 15, and best case scenario, maybe up for 12. So, we'll look into that and let you know. And we'll fix the cost at some point before we move ahead. But I can't give you that answer straight away. But that's if they're saying yes, that sounds good, then once again, that they're not that $1,000 client or the $30,000 client. You know that they're gonna consider you seriously. So
absolutely, and it's like we talked about already, it's an awesome filter. But then, so let's say how it's come to the point where we need to actually spec it out. The way we would typically do that, it was pretty much just an estimation on hours. I need to find a resource by Chris Lemma on this. He talked about it a while ago, where it was like creating a spreadsheet where each like additional feature they wanted, he put like the minimum. Like if everything went perfectly and they just did it and it got it, and it worked the first time, it's this many hours, and then it was like absolute worst case, and then it was like a formula based on those two. And that's how he priced. And I really like that, because I kind of just do that in my head, work it out. Yeah.
I think that's essentially what we all do, because not every project's going to be the same. Even if you do something that's, you do a 20-page brochure website and it's not very, nothing else to it, you do that for two different people and it's not like the exact same hours go into it. So there's still some of that done anyway. I guess I was talking more about the things that you haven't done before.
There's a whole lot in here, right? There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But you can still, it still comes down to really how much work you think it's going to be.
Yes.
And that's how you price things based on your rate. I mean, everyone talks about like hourly rate not being, don't charge by your hours, but this is kind of another step away from that. It's not just saying, oh, that's 8 hours, this is what it costs. It's coming up with an estimate that you're comfortable doing that work in and then charging them that amount. If you're going to be spending a day on something, you don't want to be charging $100 for it.
Yeah, that's right. And so, look, I think that's like almost, I guess, a different conversation. That's sort of almost talking about really the difference between, hourly rates and value-based pricing. And one of the things with why either, I believe essentially that you're making up a figure either way. Like, let's say you do your cost plus sort of packaging pricing where you go, okay, I want to earn $70,000. These are my overheads. These are my expenses. This is how much I spend on advertising. And then, I do 48 hours a week because I want to have a holiday, and I can only probably do 30 hours a week. Because I've got to spend 10 hours on admin and that sort of stuff.
Yep.
And then that's how you work out your hourly rate. Right? So people say that, but it's like, well, why did you pick $70,000? Why did some person maybe say $40,000 is what they want to earn, and the next person say $150,000? So at some point in time, I guess a price is being made up.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of where we're coming to with all of this, and I didn't think it would be any different, really, is that there's no exact science to pricing. You know, it is a gut feeling that comes with experience and what you're comfortable with charging,
yeah.
And that will grow over time.
I think a lot of that, and I always say to people that you don't actually price your services, your market does, and people get the shits with that, but it's true. But the thing with that is the good thing with that is that I tell people is that you have control over your market. So the people that you're currently working with, so what is your market? Well, that's maybe it's your current clients, maybe it's your actual, you know, friends and family, maybe it's the, you know, your business networks you have, maybe it's, you know, your profile online, how well your SEO is, you know, your page one. All of those things are going to be triggers for people to understand you in the market. Now, you do have control over those things. And, you know, someone that's got a better business network where they're dealing with businesses that charge, you know, that earn multiple, you know, millions of dollars versus a small business, you know, your network is small businesses that maybe, you know, are doing $300,000. Well, obviously the people dealing with a multi-million dollar business network group are going to be able to charge more because there's more money around that. So
yeah,
you can control those things and move to different markets, and it's about repositioning yourself. But you're just purely looking around at other people and going, oh, that person charges this much. I need to put my prices down, or I need to put my prices up because look at how much she's charging, or look at how little he's charging, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I think that's a real great way to go broke, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is why a lot of people get, there's so many heated conversations I've seen around where they're like, oh, this guy said he's going to do a website for $200. It's such a joke for our industry and blah, blah, blah. Well, really, that's your mindset that you can just adjust and be, and like, yeah. I see that kind of thing and I'm like, ooh. Like, I know they're going to go and pay $200 for that website, come back in 6 months' time when it's probably not even finished and it's a total shit show and need us to redo it, you know?
I mean, that's true. I mean, with stuff like, you know, all the DIY websites, you know, like Wix and that sort of stuff, people used to really be horrified and think, well, how am I going to compete with that sort of stuff? But really, they're actually a really good, I guess, you know, entry level, and then someone tries that stuff out and goes, oh, that really didn't work. I actually need a professional to do this.
Yeah.
You know, so it's probably the best sales tool that we have. Like, go away and do your own website. Well, that took you, you know, 10 weeks to do and it's rubbish. You could have paid someone to do a professional job and spent all your hours actually working on your own business. Like, you know, but everyone's welcome to try. There's nothing wrong with people.
And sometimes some people have to, right? Especially if it's an early days in their business. And this is why it's very, very hard to work with someone who's never had a website before and they don't understand how much is in the process. Those early days, they need to learn. You know, they need to go away and go, holy crap, this is hard. There's a lot in this. I just wasted so much time. I hate tech stuff. Next time I'm going to pay someone to do it. Hopefully by then they have a business actually generating some revenue and, you know, it's not such a big deal.
That's right. And so, I mean, when you see people charging like a couple hundred bucks for websites, that's the same thing. They're just at that real, you know, that's an option for people at that entry level, and they'll get to a time where it's not very often that the people that are doing those services at that prices are going to do a great job. And if they do, they don't do it for very long because it's unsustainable.
Yeah, they will just straight up go out of business. And, I hear it so many times.
And start doing good work and put their prices up. And before you know it, that person comes back and goes, I'd like another $200 website. And they're like, well, I charge, you know, $5,000 now.
Yeah, and people realize that pretty quickly. I mean, when I first started, I was definitely in that like, oh, I'm just going to do like templated websites for $500 and do a ton of them. But then you do the maths and you work out to get a reasonable income after you take out costs on those sites. You know, that's a lot of websites and a lot of clients you have to get in the door in 1 year just to make like $50,000.
Yeah.
So
100% agree. And there's a lot of people that talk about, you know, doubling your prices or even 10xing your prices and stuff like that. And they sound like crazy ideas. But when you think about it, if you put 10 times on the price of whatever you're charging now, let's say you're someone that's doing $500 websites and you went, all right, I'm going to put 10 times on it. And now you're charging $5,000. That actually allows you the freedom to lose nine out of 10 jobs that you were landing at, right?
Yeah.
So that gives you a lot more time to work on actually landing that $5,000 client.
And the best clients, honestly, would see $500 and go, that's too cheap. There's something wrong with this.
For sure. Right? For sure. I agree. Yeah.
And what we want are the best clients. So, you know, and that's half the reason, it's pretty much all the reason I got out of cheap websites was because they were always the jobs that cost us a stupid amount of time and stress. They were the clients that were super demanding, you know, and they just, no one needs that shit in their life, that level of stress when you've got one client ruining a whole month over a job that's worth nothing to you and ends up being a loss, you know?
Yep. And that really is coming back to value-based pricing essentially again, because really that if you have a someone that values what you do the most, they'll pay the most for it. And then they're also seeing you, seeing the value in what you do, not just the financial cost, like not how much, but they understand that you're an expert and they know that, look, you know, I'm a real estate agent and I've got a great business. I'm not a web person. Whereas those people at the small end that don't actually value what you do, they actually think that they've got more insight than you and want to overrule a lot of the stuff that you do. So yeah, they can be nightmares.
Absolutely. I think it's funny, like I've got a bunch of listener questions here that I want to go through now, but we've covered a lot of them just sort of riffing here. But one I don't think, like this comes up a lot too, right? Guys that are just starting in the business and don't even know where to start with pricing. So Mark Ferguson from the group said, can you briefly cover pricing tips for someone who is just starting out and does not have a large portfolio? Where do you think Mark should start and other people in Mark's position?
Yeah, look, that's actually a great question. One of the things I guess you need to sort of understand is that a portfolio is really just, I guess, one of those, a trust indicator for someone, right? So it's just one of them. You need a lot of those things to actually help with a sale. And I see people charging a lot of money and people that do great work and they don't really show much of a portfolio. They don't actually...
I read an article the other day. I can't remember what big... it was a huge agency, but obviously at this point they have a brand name behind them, but they don't show any portfolio whatsoever. I can't remember her reasoning behind it, but you know, it was along the lines of not sort of like they want to craft a solution for each business individually. They don't want people to come in and go, I want that, you know?
Yes.
And so they don't have a portfolio at all and they're charging, you know, multi five figure type branding projects.
Yeah. And look, so I think if you can establish trust with people, and maybe that's through things like social proof, you know, like reviews or testimonials, or, you know, obviously if you're starting out, you don't have a lot of that stuff. If your website looks good, you know, if you're actually, you know, ranking well, and if you're doing good social content and that sort of stuff, then those things are actually, you know, markers that people will use to say, yes, this person is, you know, ticking some of those boxes for me. It's not just about your portfolio. And I used to have my whole folio, you know, I would have, you know, 50, you know, websites on there, and I've just pulled it back to six. I mean, I've got a lot in there that are sort of still hidden as thumbnails and that sort of stuff. And that's probably more an SEO thing than it is, that I want to show that stuff. Mm. But yeah, I certainly moved away. I think I've just pulled it back to like six projects or something.
That's perfect. Like that. And like I think most decent design companies are doing that. You know, I don't want to, your client doesn't want to scroll through 100 things. They just want to go, oh yeah, I like this person's style or this company's style. But you know, like I said, some people don't have a portfolio at all. I don't think it's necessary.
No, I don't think it is. I think as long as if you build yourself a good website, then A, you've shown that you can build a website.
Well, that's massive. What I wanted to go in. Oh, and you forgot bloody something. Thank you for bringing that up again. Your own website is massive. If you have a really good looking website, that shows you can build a bloody good website. You would not believe the amount of, like, everyone that signs up for Content Snare, I check out their website mostly, right? I usually send like personal videos and stuff like this. So I check out their website and you would not believe the amount of websites I see that are just, let's say they don't inspire confidence in that person's ability to design. And like, obviously it's that plumber's problem or whatever, where the, you know, plumber's always got leaky taps or the cobbler's kids have no shoes or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, but you don't work on your own.
You go.
I was just saying, you don't end up working on your own stuff, but really, to some extent, especially in the beginning when you've got nothing else for people to trust you on, like if you're not getting referrals yet, yeah, like that's all you've got. It's got to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And, you know, if you've got good content and you're actually, once again, some of those things that we're saying about, you know, the trust, I guess, indicators, if you can and cover those things in your content, like what pain points might, your potential customers have, if you talk about those things and you talk about how what your process might be, how you like to work with people, they're going to really understand you, and then that's probably going to help you lead to a sale. So, I mean, I do still think portfolio is important, but if you don't have one, it's not the be-all and end-all for sure.
Totally. And at some point when you actually have had a decent client base and you start getting referrals from people, you know, whether that's through existing client, like previous clients referring you, or just through friends and business contacts that you meet, like I'm a big fan of networking, you start getting referrals. And there was definitely a point in our agency where we had a shocking website and people didn't care. Because we came highly recommended. So,
yeah,
you know,
and similar with networking. Like I, think networking is massive when you're starting out. You actually need to go out there and A, let people know that you exist and that what service you offer. And if people get along with you, I've been referred from people that haven't actually seen my work, but I've met them at networking and then we've obviously got along.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone, you know, within a couple of days, someone's got in touch with me and they've been referred by this person that I've met. And, you know, maybe they've gone away and looked at my work, but a lot of the times I don't think they really would have. They just trusted that I, you know, was someone that could help their lead out, you know, they've got a friend or, a business colleague or whatever. And so, yeah, you get referrals from people that don't know anything about your work if you're, I guess, you know, connecting with them in other ways.
Yeah, and I guess I lied a bit there in that your website doesn't need to be perfect as long as you have referrals. So referrals pretty much trump everything in my experience.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes, but if you're doing online stuff, if you're trying to get people through some like online means, whether it's like LinkedIn or Facebook ads or in groups, then I think when someone actually has no experience of meeting you in person, then your website's going to matter a lot more.
Yep, I agree. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah. What other questions have we got here? I think we answered Mark's question anyway. It's
hopefully.
I mean, I think another thing we kind of already touched on, which applies there, is working out how much you want to earn, how many websites you're going to need. Like, if you start just pick a random number and you're like, I'm going to charge $1,000 for a website. You'll probably work out quickly, after you take out costs and life and all that sort of stuff, that what you're doing is completely unsustainable, or maybe even sending you backwards, which I've seen plenty of companies in that position. So it starts with, working out how much you need to charge, really. Like, basically, if you want to cover your life costs and how many clients you think you can get in, and then pricing from there, if that's absolute minimum. And then you can go up from there, which leads us directly into Erica's question about raising prices over time.
Yeah, raising prices over time. Look, I guess the only way to do that is to actually just do it. The easiest way to do it is when you've got a lot of work on. Then you can actually be quite risky with that, and that's a good time. If you've got if you're booked out for the next month or whatever, and someone rings up, that's a great time to double your price or triple your price. And if it sticks, then
it's a job you don't care about getting. And that's funny. It's like,
there is that. I don't know what the term is, but like the go away price when when you don't think the projects are going to go ahead, and you,
that's
you,
at least you three times.
Yeah, I think that's the go away price.
If you're not if you're not coming off as a needy person trying to get these if you're trying to go in with a low price and you need work to eat, it's funny. Like, you've got a much lower chance of winning that work because you'll come across weird. If you straight up don't care, like, this is a real thing. And this even applies in like dating, right? If you come off as someone that, is a little bit sort of carefree, you're probably going to do better because you're going to come off more confident. And so it's a perfect time. I really like that idea of of trying to raise prices when you're busy. That's really good.
Well, it's the easiest way to do it. But also your comment just then, that really comes back to having that conversation. Well, the very first thing that we started talking about was having conversations around money. Because if you can do that and you can be confident about that, that's when you actually land stuff for the figures you want. So if you're stuck thinking that you know the max you can sell a website for is $1,500, if you want to bump your prices up to $2,000, but you're stuck with this mindset that $1,500 is what you can charge, you'll say them differently. So you'll say, oh yep, so my price is $1,500. Or if you're trying to put, if you're not confident, you'll be like, my price is $2,000.
Massive, you know? Yeah. Vocal inflections are huge.
So having that's why I think we need to, designers and developers need to actually talk about this stuff and be confident with it and talk to other people about it. Talk to other designers where it doesn't matter and say, hey, I'm thinking this is what I charge. Like, what do you charge? Like, that's an easy way to talk about that stuff without it being an actual real client. And that's sort of circling back again to why I put prices on there on my website and why I think it's a good idea, because it keeps you in check. Like if you put your prices out in public, you're pretty confident that you're going to have to say those prices to people if someone asks. It's on your website. You've got to say, well, my bottom package is $4,000, but it's already out there. So it makes it easier to have those sort of, that confidence around there. But yeah, back to raising prices over time. Another good way is just slow and steady. Essentially, maybe every couple of projects, you just try and put it up like 10% and see how you go until you're getting pushback. And when you get pushback, don't drop back, but make that your plateau and build up from that and then go, this is my new price. So if you're stuck at $1,500 and you go, well, the next one I'm going to do is 17, and the next one I'm going to do is 2, and the next one I'm going to do is 2.5. Mm-hmm. And then you sort of, some people are sort of are not really loving that. So you sit there for a while, and really, if you've gone from doing $1,500 websites and to $2,500 websites, you should be able to produce a little bit better work as well.
Yeah.
So then spend a bit more time on it. You might be attracting better clients, and then you start again. Once people have sort of got used to that pricing and you're comfortable with that, you start going again and you might go, 2.8. And then once again, you find a new bit where you start to get pushback. So it's just a bit of a slow and steady.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, it's pretty much like all of this has been like that. There's no concrete answer. It's just worked out with time. And yeah, it's all of this is like that, right? It all comes from building confidence and sort of building your business over time. Like, this is naturally going to happen. This has been an awesome chat. I think we've covered pretty much the other stuff. Like Erica asked about upselling, which you've kind of already talked about already. Your different packages essentially selling different services. I think we're talking
something that we vaguely touched on before this was that sort of anchoring. And that's something that I do, maybe that's a good thing to sort of give people a heads up on what that is and how that works.
Yeah, price anchoring is huge. We totally forgot to go into that. That's my bad.
Yeah.
and so, because this is a little bit separate to that, right? Like, so upselling into other services, I think that's going to be a whole other episode. I think we have to skip that question for now.
And someone asked about maintenance, and that's a full conversation too.
It is. I've already got that lined up as another chat. And Luke's question about not wanting to advertise price because everything's value-based. I think we kind of covered that. Like, having a range or a minimum price is a good place to start there.
I agree with Luke. I mean, that's essentially what I've tried to do with my pricing. So if he goes and has a look at my website and looks at how I actually do my pricing, he might find that I'm trying to have that balance between productizing and putting my prices out there while still being value-based. And that's by having these tiers with ranges in them, so I can have these conversations. And, the other thing with value-based is that people think that it's, a way to get a lot of money quickly or to get more money out of people. But really, the fact of the matter is that we tend to have a market and we tend to work in the same sort of circles. Like, Nike's not going to ring me up tomorrow and want their brand redone by me. That's not going to happen. So, with pricing, people get worried that they're going to cap themselves by sort of putting them out there. But anyway, I think we should quickly talk about...
Let's get into anchoring. And this can be done with productized or value pricing. And just to quickly touch on what productized is, that's more about like fixed packages. You know, like if you do a 5-page website and a 10-page website with custom design, and you know, where you've got fixed inclusions in each thing and it's a fixed package, that's kind of what productizing is. Very hard to do in web design, but people do manage, you know, but people are always going to want different things that you need to bolt on. So it applies to that. You can price anchor in pretty much anything. Let's talk about that. And because I really loved how you talked about your 3 pricing tiers. So the whole point is to try and get someone focused in on the middle price, right? Out of 3. What am I doing? You talk about this. You nailed it.
Okay, so a couple of people that talk about this stuff, Christo from the future talks about this stuff, and also Blair Enns again in Pricing Creativity. And there's a good book which is called Pricing Design, and hang on, I've got a note where Dan Moll wrote that. That's a great book as well. But really, the idea around anchoring is to create. If you have one price, that's all you've got. If you've got 2 prices, you're giving people something to compare. If you've got 3, that's great. 4 is still good. Never more than that. So the ideals for doing some anchoring is really 3 or 4. I like 3. And so the idea with that is you come up with a price that you think a project should be, you know, what you've talked to someone, they've outlined what they want. You've got an idea of what that would be. And you throw an anchor out there. So let's say you think that's a 10 grand project. You throw an anchor out there and you always start with the high anchor. And if you look on my websites and if you ever come across one of my proposals, you'll see that the high anchor is first. So rather than a lot of people will put their cheap one left to right, so it'll go this, this, and this. But you start with the high one first, and that's to create a little bit of sticker shock. But so if you want to do a $10,000 project, you chuck a $20,000 cost at them initially. So you go, oh, recently I did a project like that. The client had, you know, it was a $20,000 project. This is what we did with it. See how they're acting. Maybe that's not what you need. Maybe you're sort of, you know, not quite at that stage. Maybe you're more like a $10,000 project, but you know, we could still do a lot of that stuff in there.
And obviously there's more stuff in this. You're not just throwing out these prices. These are like your packages where there's like a more strategy. Maybe there's copywriting. Maybe there's like some other stuff involved in that project. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. I'm just making this stuff up on the spot.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, essentially that's what you're doing. So you sort of, you start with a high anchor, and that really is to make that, the next price that you say sound comfortable, you know? Like if the first thing you said is $10,000 to someone and that's right on their threshold, it's going to feel, you know, hard for them. But if you say $20,000 and then you cut them a deal back to $10,000, they're like, it doesn't sound so bad. So that's the psychology behind it, right? So when you're doing something like a proposal, like I was saying before, you do the 1-page proposal and you do some dot points on there. I'll do essentially three tiers, and I say, look, this is like A, B, and C. The top tier is $20,000 and it's got all of these things included. You add crazy stuff in there. Like go give them a back massage. I don't care. Like even if it's the stuff you don't want to deliver, right? But that's what makes it the $20,000. You know, I'll bring you a coffee every time we have a meeting. I don't, you know, you put stuff in there.
Yeah, like you could train your whole team on how to use it or something.
Yeah, essentially all the things you're going to over-deliver on and things that they may not actually require. Then the middle one is essentially everything that they've said. It's exactly what they've said, and it's that middle pricing. And then you have the third price, and that's slightly under, not too far under. So the idea with the high anchor is it needs to have a big gap between it. So you don't want to have like your high anchor is 12 and then you want them to spend 10 because it's not going to have that effect. You want to say 20 to 10. So 20 is the expensive one, 10 is my middle package. And then you might say 8 is the bottom one. And you don't have a huge difference. And then what you're doing is you strip out all of those things that actually add the value to the project or the things that they've asked for. And so that goes to show that what that also does, one of the effects with doing a proposal that way or outlining cost to someone that way, is that if people like to feel like they can shop around and they've got options, and it means that they start shopping around within your services rather than other people's service. So you're giving them, like, I could be a $6,000 website person, a $10,000 website person, or a $15,000 website person, rather than getting three separate quotes from people, from three different people. That's a six. So you're essentially becoming all of those three options for them.
That's awesome.
So that's really powerful. So
yeah, totally.
Yeah. So that's a good takeaway. And yeah, if you want to look more into that, Blair Enns, Pricing Creativity. Mind you, that book is priced with pricing strategy in mind, and I think it's like $300 book.
Holy.
but it's worth it.
Absolutely. Wow. All right. Well, I think that's a good spot to end this, because that was so much epic stuff in there. I don't want to explode people's brains. So I think we should stop there. We can dig into maintenance pricing and all that kind of stuff, and upselling and value adds in another episode, I think. So thank you so much for joining me. Corey, where can people go to find out more about you?
Look, just elkcreative.com.au, or jump on anything like Facebook or Insta. I'm probably more active on Insta, and it's just Elk Creative. So that's the handle, just
E-L-K Creative.
Yeah. Yep. Boom. So like the moose. Yep. Done.
Love it. Except a moose is way bigger than an elk.
I think so. Yeah. A deer,
kind of. Perfect. All right. Thanks again. And if you.
No problems.
And thanks for joining us, listener. If you've enjoyed this episode, please head over to iTunes, leave a review, and share it with anyone you think will get something out of it. We always appreciate that. That's how we get word out, is all referrals. So thank you very much, and I'll see you next time.
Discover how to grow your agency, earn more, and work less at agencyhighway.com. Head over there to get resources from this episode and full transcripts. See you next time.